From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 13th day of May 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, U.S. EPA is not convinced the dangers posed by greenhouse gases mean regulation should be in the works. And Monsanto Company is expecting gross profits from sales of seeds and traits will double by the year 2012. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then we'll hear some advice on how to deal with those great big weeds that have been growing unimpaired in your very, 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 oh, what the heck, let's do it one more time, very wet eastern Corn Belt field. Speaking of which, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us as we close out this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
On this Wednesday afternoon in Chicago, the futures finished like this. The nearby May wheat futures down 3 3/4 today at $5.78 3/4, July at $5.88 3/4, 4 cents lower, September at $6.15 1/4, down 4 1/4, and December wheat at $6.37 1/2, down 4 1/4, July Kansas wheat at $6.38 for the hard red, up 0.5 cent today. Back in Chicago, the corn pit was unchanged in the nearby May contract to settle at $4.19 1/2 a bushel. July at $4.26 1/2, down 1 cent. September at $4.35 1/2, down 3/4. December corn at $4.47 1/4, down 3/4. And the March 2010 contract at $4.57 3/4, down 1 penny. May oat futures at $2.25 6 1/2 lower. July down 7 at $2.28 1/2. From the soy complex, nearby May beans, $11.50, up 12 1/2. July at $11.28, up 10 1/2. August up a dime at $10.85. And November beans at $9.81 1/2, up 2 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures at $82.50 were down 70 cents today. May feeders at $98.95, down 37 1/2. And May lean hog futures at $61.57 1/2, down 17 1/2 cents on the afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Mark Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. June crude oil futures at $58.02 a barrel, 83 cents lower. July at $58.97, down 74 on the afternoon. June ethanol at $1.72, currently trading 0.1 cent lower. The natural gas at $4.27 6/10, down 17 4/10 of a cent. And the RBOB gasoline June contract at $1.69 4/10, up 2 6/10. June heating oil, it's diesel fuel, 1 2/10 lower at $1.49 4/10, and the propane futures at 70 1/10 of a cent, just about 0.5 cent higher on the afternoon. Gold futures now at $925.50 an ounce, settled up $2. The Dow at 8302 is down 167 points, roughly speaking, and the U.S. dollar at 82.49. is up 0.19 for the day. The CRB index at 241 is down 2.58 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like tonight. In northwestern Illinois, should become partly cloudy. Elsewhere, cloudy, windy, showers, some thunderstorms. The threat of a strong to severe storm will shift into eastern Illinois and Indiana during the evening. Lows will range this evening from 47 in northwestern Illinois to 66 in the far south. Tomorrow in the south and central sections of Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy, a few showers likely, mainly early in the day. Elsewhere, becoming partly to mostly sunny, highs will range tomorrow from 65 in northern Indiana to 76 in the southern part of Illinois, says our own Mike Sola. The extended forecast says another round of moderate precip will fall across the two-state area Friday and Saturday. The heaviest of the rain is expected in the northern two-thirds of Illinois. The result will be most locations will remain too wet for any field work. Another round of light precip indicated to fall toward the second half of next week as well. More on the weather forecast when we talk with Drew Lerner at the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois is with us this afternoon. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Todd.
A lot of rainfall across the area, across the Midwest, and the amounts generally weren't particularly small. Do you have some numbers to report?
Yeah, today? Brockton, Illinois, 1.5 inches. Watseka, 1 inch. Oakland, 2 inches. Hume, 1.25 inches. Charleston, 2.25 inches. Tuscola, 1 inch. And a lot of candy and corn chip and soda pop consumption in the office. A lot of phone calls, people wanting to do things right on the high, and I told them to hang up and drive down the road. So, you know, we did. There was a lot of phone calls. We were extremely busy. The market basically performed, I think, about the way I thought it would.
Hey, Mike Sola just walked into the studios here. Get this. We're in Champaign County, of course. Our studio, just outside the studio, 2.99 inches of rain.
That's too much for the Marl plots.
Yeah, that is too much for the Marl plots. yeah, it is. And I suppose
have they planted the corn yet?
You know, I haven't looked, but there's no way that they've moved. I don't think they have. I haven't walked out to that north end of the building to see whether they've planted. I come in from the other side. I come in from the east side of the building, and I haven't walked by the Marl plots lately. But we'll get around to it, and I'll report that as well. 299 means that we're going to be out of the field here for a long time in Champaign County. Lots of folks are going to be out. They'll be out to certainly till the next run, which comes Friday and Saturday, and then possibly another set sometime midweek next week, though.
That one's lighter, and yeah. At least by my crack meteorological team, and that's the hope. And the general speaking is that people are extremely nervous, and the one tonight is the one we have to watch for, and then it gets lighter, you know, here towards the weekend. The markets saw in corn, for example, a lot of buying, and we got the feeling that there was a story that maybe China was selling corn. That probably is an iffy situation, but we do know that there's a ton of old crop corn still out here. We get one side of the fence saying because we can't plant corn, we're bullish old corn. Then on the other hand, we get reports that in the west and northwest, we're seeing a lot of new crop corn being sold at the 450 level basis, the December futures, because, you know, it's a profitable time to do it. The big factor here is that it's awful hard to equate livestock and ethanol profitability with corn much above the 4 to 4.10 area in the Midwest.
I heard you say that you were telling farmers to go ahead and hang up and go down the road earlier today, right?
Yeah.
So I assume that you're starting to turn friendly to bullish this.
Well, I meant, you know, sometimes people do crazy things, and then this time, you know, they were wanting to buy on the high of the day, and they kind of talked them out of that, I think, for a couple of reasons.
But
big factor here, too, is that there was a tremendous amount of trading in options, which, you know, $5 calls moved around on December futures, and the calls, the high and the low. And there was a lot of opportunities there. But the big factor here is the guessing game about, you know, how late people will plant and, you know, just how much moisture we are going to get. There was a lot of corn put in the ground yesterday, a lot of spraying done as well here in this part of the state.
Yeah, so basically what you were saying to the local guys was don't look out your back door, exactly, because Iowa's a long way along.
That's right, and, you know, my other contention is that we have two crops, you know, this old crop corn, we have the new crop, and let's play each game just a little different, and, you know, they did a good job.
Well, outline the two different games for me then.
Well, okay, $4 corn is profitable, pays a dividend, and, you know, market the old crop corn. The new crop corn, there's a moisture problem, you know, as far as if you get it planted and it's up, you know, is it going to be wet corn this fall? It's an crop than this old crop that we're selling.
All right.
So the acres are going to be down. Demand's probably going to be a little better. I underlined the word inflation because we're starting to hear about it more, and that's a help with high gasoline prices, a little better stock market, gold and silver prices, a lack of Social Security money, a lack of Medicaid money. It all means that there's probably a whiff of inflation out there somewhere. So that's the reason why I think we have to play two different worlds and play the cards accordingly.
Yeah. So on the old crop, you really haven't changed your tune very much.
No. Thank goodness we were a strong holder down when the stock market was at 6,500, and now reward the market, I'd say, rather gingerly.
And you're saying on the old crop because you still think there's an awful lot of corn in the bin.
That's right. And the government possibly to get people to still plant corn, probably was a little optimistic on exports, a little optimistic on feed usage, and also ethanol usage. So, they lowered it 100 million, and maybe the demand's only improved 50 million. And that you sell when all of the hedge funds are buying.
How you like that target out there for next year for carryout?
Well, that's better, and that's kinder, and that gives us the idea that, hey, we can see some better prices out in the Midwest and better farmland prices, and people can survive out in agriland.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
Have a profitable day and hope the severe flooding stays away.
All right. Thanks much, Paul.
Bye.
Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens on Wednesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Hey, have you tried our phone-in line yet? At 10:15 and 3:15 daily, we update what, is essentially a voicemail or an answering machine box with some of the numbers and a bit of analysis from our pre-opening and closing market reports. And you can call in if you don't happen to be next to the radio or can't get to us at our Will Ag website. Try this, 217-333-3434. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment to take us through the Ag News. He'll be sitting in for me tomorrow afternoon, by the way, on this show, as I'll be up at the Milford Grade School, just south of Watseka, for their Agriculture Day. My thanks to Dave in advance.
In agricultural news, the head of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says a finding that greenhouse gases such as carbon dioxide are a public health danger won't necessarily lead to government regulation of emissions, an about-face for the Obama administration. The new position follows revelation of a White House document that warns the EPA of the wide-ranging and potentially economically harmful consequences of an agency finding last month that proposes declaring greenhouse gases are a danger to the public. An EPA spokesperson was not immediately able to explain the change of policy position. A Federal Reserve economist says a farm economic rebound depends on renewed strength in domestic and export food and fuel consumption in 2010. Jason Henderson, vice president and Omaha branch executive, said in an analysis from the Kansas City Federal Reserve that moderate stabilization in the overall economy could materialize in the second half of 2009. Domestically stronger U.S. incomes would help increase restaurant sales and meat consumption and would support U.S. fuel consumption and ethanol demand, which would push corn values higher. Monsanto Company today says that it expects its U.S. gross profit from sales of seeds and traits to double by 2012 from the 2008 level, while its international businesses should grow by 85%. The world's biggest seed company said it will launch a high-impact technology product every 1 to 2 years, with a goal that each project will deliver more than $300 million in gross revenue opportunities by 2020 in the country where it is launched. Monsanto has increasingly been focusing its long-term growth efforts on developing innovative seeds as its revenues from chemical herbicides peak. Financially troubled California-based ethanol producer Pacific Ethanol announced yesterday that it may be headed for bankruptcy. As a result, Pacific Ethanol says it will delay the filing of its latest quarterly report due on May 18th, according to the SEC filing deadline. Meanwhile, Renewable Energy Group announced plans to consolidate with three biodiesel companies in Iowa and Illinois. Those plants include Black Hawk Biofuels LLC, a 45-million-gallon plant in Danville, Illinois. Ownership of the operations of all four companies will be consolidated in a new holding company to be named Renewable Energy Group Incorporated. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can listen to this program, Commodity Week, other agricultural programming, even be updated on the agricultural weather forecast. It's all at willag.org. One quick tip. You know, a little later in the program, we'll talk to Drew Lerner. That happens each and every Wednesday, but I usually record that at about noon on Wednesdays, and you can hear it early if you'd like. All you have to do is go visit willag.org, scroll down the page, look for the Closing Mark Report, and hit the Ag Weather segment at willag.org. Now, up next, you know those wet field conditions that have delayed planting have conversely been a great big boon to the growth of both winter and summer annual weed species. I'll have more on how farmers will need to deal with the growing problem.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
The purple color that adorned farm fields just a couple of weeks ago is gone. It's been largely replaced by the yellow flowerings of certain mustard species and butterweed. White-flowered mustard species such as pennycress and shepherd's purse are close to reaching maturity, and several species of summer annual weeds have emerged and are making significant growth. At many fields where no herbicide or tillage operation has occurred can be simply described as, well, woolly. University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager says the wet conditions have allowed weeds to get big, and that means they'll be tough to control. Farmers, he says, are likely to turn to mechanical measures.
However, some of the modern implements that farmers use now, especially if they're in a single-pass tillage operation prior to planting, may not always be quite as effective on some of these very large weeds. For example, we've seen in many instances and heard many reports of some of the dense mats of some of the winter annual species actually so-called balling up in a field cultivator. We've seen ample examples in the past where larger summer annuals such as common lamb's quarters or giant ragweed, if the tillage operation doesn't completely sever the stem from the roots, many times what the plants do is they tend to recover. You may see a common ragweed, for example, that's got a stem with a significant bend to it or a crook in the stem, but yet is able to right itself and continue growing. These are ones that can present some very, very difficult challenges in terms of trying to control them with any herbicides that are used then after the crop has emerged.
What to do then? Well, the first suggestion, says Hager, is to beef up that tillage operation. Work that field just a bit harder.
One other tactic that farmers could consider is to go ahead with a burn-down herbicide application even before the tillage occurs. Now, if we do this or if farmers contemplate doing this particular practice, they should probably allow anywhere from about 24 to 48 hours to elapse between the application and the tillage operation in order to let the herbicide translocate in some of the target vegetation for more effective control.
A second cautionary note here, growth regulator herbicides, 2,4-D's or dicamba, may not be the best choice if tillage will occur soon after application. tillage soon after application may incorporate some of the growth regulator herbicide into the upper soil profile, and that'll place it in the crop seeding zone and subsequently increase the likelihood of crop injury. Soil residual herbicides can be included with the burn-down herbicide, but keep in mind there that the subsequent tillage operation may not provide the most desirable distribution of the residual herbicide in that profile. And for those that choose to plant first and control the weeds later, Hager has this advice. Wait 24 to 48 hours to apply the burn-down after planting. The weeds get knocked around and need some time to recover enough to ensure the herbicide is translocated. Doesn't do any good to spray if the weed can't move the herbicide to the root system. And secondly, he says, do not use a cut rate. It's a big weed. It'll need a full rate. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check in on the cash grain market. Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons, their Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, is with us. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about cash basis. Is all of this rainfall, lack of ability of planters to be able to roll, had an impact or not?
Really, basis on the corn side has been pretty steady. With the board rally here, we've actually have bought quite a bit of corn here, and also the rain has helped with the guys needing something to do on these rainy days, so they're moving some corn. So really, corn basis has been steady, maybe a touch under pressure here, but I don't think anything's going to move, blink here, or really go down here or anything. But really, the story of the day is the bean market here. Processors are starting to get more and more interest from end users for meal, and so they're looking to lock in their crush here on into midsummer. So we've seen bean basis here catch a little wind here, and probably continue will to be, as you know, as the report said Monday, we were tightness with the beans.
So it's simply the report that's pushing that along, and then on to that was yesterday. But the report from yesterday really telling processors that they needed to lock more of this in.
That, but we're also hearing that it seems like the end users, the feeders, are thinking this is a good time to lock in some of their needs, and hearing that they're getting quite a bit of meal purchases onto the deferreds into that June-July time frame, which, you know, for most crushers who just want to work in the spot market, they're getting some offers in the deferred, you know, it makes sense for them to start locking in their crush.
What else have you been hearing that we ought to know about?
Really not too much here. Really on the corn side, still quite a bit of corn in the producer's hands, and it seems like it will move here in the summer. Still our opinion here in Indiana, we're going to see quite a bit of corn move in that June-July time frame.
Do you have both bids and maybe a rainfall account there, too, overnight?
Yeah, overnight, see the quarter inch and probably another two-thirds here today. So inch total and bid here at Climbers 421, Delphi Beans 1138.
Matt, thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
Matt Blaisdell is with the Andersons. He's at the Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll get a full report of the weather forecast with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. Stay with us.
It's National Apple Pie Day. Apples are thought to originate in Asia, where its wild ancestor is still found today. Apples were brought to North America with the colonists in the 1600s, and the first apple orchard in the New World was said to be near Boston in 1625. On this day in agricultural history in 1878, Joseph Henry died. One of the first great American scientists, Henry was the first director of the Smithsonian Institution, where he established the foundation of a national weather service. In 1884, Cyrus Hall McCormick died. He is generally credited with the development of the mechanical reaper. His father had worked unsuccessfully between 1809 and 1816 to develop a reaping machine. He followed his father's lead and by 1831 was able to publicly demonstrate a functional machine able to cut a 4-foot swath. In 1834, he patented his design. To defend his patent against a competitor, in 1843, a widely publicized competition was held between their rival products in which McCormick's machine was judged the better. He sold 29 harvesters that year, 50 the next, and by 1848, he was in business with a factory in Chicago, Illinois, able to produce 500 machines. With production line assembly within a few years, McCormick dominated the market. And in 1958, Velcro was trademarked. The hook loop fastener was invented in 1945. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us is Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Man, did it rain here today. Wow, and we're not done yet. Tell me about this forecast and the rainfall and who's getting it and how much.
Yeah, it certainly does look like a mess out there, and some very strong thunderstorms will evolve as we get into the latter part of this day. Not that we haven't already seen some, but there's going to be a line of pretty intense thunderstorms that will march across the heart of the Midwest here late this afternoon and overnight tonight. We'll probably see some quick rain amounts in the half to 1.5-inch range, and it wouldn't surprise me at all to see a couple of spots do more than that. We'll end up with some hail and some damaging wind, and perhaps even a tornado or two might show up across part of the region. So it's going to be kind of nasty for the next 24 hours. This frontal boundary is moving fairly steadily across the region, or will be, and so we won't expect the rains to linger too long, but there will be a few hours there where it will be a little nasty out there. This first frontal system will go ahead and push out of the eastern Midwest already by tomorrow, let's say by mid-morning, I guess, would probably be the best way to do it. There is a second system, though, that still has to march through the region. It will debut in the western Corn Belt on Friday, and we'll cross the Mississippi River probably late Friday night into early Saturday morning, and once again another round of strong thunderstorms will come across the region. At the moment, there's not as much moisture that's going to be associated with this second set of storms, but we will still find rain moving across the region, another quarter to three-quarters of an inch of rain and maybe some local amounts over an inch, and that will impact most areas to the east of the Mississippi River. So we're not going to be able to do anything to stop the rain. Let's just hope that next week's weather improves like it's supposed to. Next week looks pretty nice across the Midwest. Not much precipitation will occur from Saturday afternoon in Illinois. Let's talk Illinois first here. Saturday afternoon through a big part of next week, there's a little frontal system that will try to cut through the region around mid to late week, but it will fail in producing a substantial amount of precipitation. So we'll probably end up with less than a quarter of an inch of rain across the state, and that means that we'll be back into the fields again, hopefully after a few days of drying that will take place Saturday into, let's say, Tuesday of next week, and then it'll be a much more aggressive forecast after that. There is a tropical weather system of some sort that's supposed to develop somewhere near Florida during the early part of next week, and that is the problem factor for the forecast here. Where that system goes will have a big impact on what happens to the Midwest weather. The latest model data suggests that storm system will kind of hang out in the southeastern states for an extended period of time, which is good for the Midwest because it will block some of the moisture from getting up into the region and keep all the rains going in the Carolinas, Georgia, and Alabama and Florida. So if that scenario plays out, that's great, but I'm not convinced that it will be the right solution. So the bottom line at this point, we should still look for wet weather the next 2, 3, actually 4 days, and then we'll see much improved conditions occur as we go from the late weekend through much of next week, with perhaps a little bit of shower activity interrupting about midweek, but not heavy rain.
So planters rolling a week from today, maybe, I guess, is what you're talking about. And we'll find out more when we talk to you again next Wednesday.
All right. right. Sounds like a good plan.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Wednesday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.